Message 11. The recovery of the earth through God's reigning in Christ and His kingdom. The subject of Psalms is Christ, house, city, and then finally the earth. And we're coming to the message now that talk about Christ gaining, recovering, having possession, taking His ownership over the whole earth. Amen. That is a very big thing. Before we come into that, we need to know something that the Bible tells us, that Christ comes two times. The first time He came to solve a personal problem. But He will come the second time. And when He comes the second time, He's not just coming to solve a personal problem, He's coming to deal with all the things on this earth. That is a very important truth. And for that, I would first like to read you something. This is from Brother Nee. He says, the Bible shows us clearly that Christ has to come to earth two times. The first happened in the past. The second has not yet come. During His first coming, He accomplished certain things. In the second coming, He will accomplish more things. In His first coming, He mainly dealt with sin, delivered the sinners, and dispensed a new life to them. In His second coming, He will take care of the social problems and renew the human system. A personal salvation was clearly settled at His first coming. The globe, our society, the existing systems will be taken up effectively at His second coming. There are some things that are still waiting to be solved, and that will be solved when Christ comes again the second time. We admit that there are many vices in this world. We cannot deny that this world has many needs. The system is basically unhealthy. There are numerous contradictions in our institutional framework. Tensions build up constantly on an international scale, and the future is gloomy. Modern youth are especially concerned about these issues. The more they ponder these matters, the more they are confused. Everywhere, there are intelligent people trying to tackle these problems, and everywhere you can find more problems. Some wonder how man can survive on this planet in the next generation. Others study the global impact of food shortage. Then there's the question of the environment, the transportation. People ask why there has to be crime, injustice, and why the prisons are always filled with inmates. Others challenge the validity of class existence, with some members of society being fed well while others while doing nothing, while others sweat all day only to find themselves in deeper poverty. Everywhere there are crises, between nations, between races, between colors. What is our attitude? We have to see that God has already prepared a solution to all these problems. Amen. When Christ came the first time, He saved us individually. He did not deal with the world or with its systems. He did not touch any social problems. His first coming was to settle the spiritual issues, not the material ones. But this does not mean that he ignores the latter. Christ will kick up these problems, and he will deal with each one of them in a thorough way. With that, I come to the message. It is when Christ comes again that he will recover the whole earth.
Amen.
He will recover this earth.
Amen.
Some people, they're saying, oh, if man can only go back to paradise. You know, paradise is only one corner of the earth. It says, in the east, the Lord put a garden. God is not recovering us back to paradise. He's recovering the earth.
Amen.
The whole earth. The earth is the Lord's.
Amen.
It doesn't belong to Satan. And it doesn't belong to men only. When Christ comes, he will return the earth back to its pristine, its pure, its primeval, its beautiful state that God has created. And that's what Psalms is talking about. I'll come to this from a few angles. First, I will read to you a summary of the Psalms concerning the earth from Christ and the Church in the book of Psalms. And brotherly summarized how Psalms talk about the earth in 12 points. First of all, the word earth appears 190 times altogether in the book of Psalms. Earth, 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 earth. Okay. The order. Number one. Psalm 24:2. The earth was created by the Lord. Number two, Psalm 24:1. The earth, therefore, is the Lord's and its fullness. Number three, the earth has been given to Christ as his possession. Psalm 2:8. Number four, Christ will come back to take the earth. 96:13. Number five, his name will be excellent in all the earth. 8:1. 6. Christ will reign over the whole earth. 72:8. 7. Christ will make his saints princes in all the earth. 45:16. Then, how will the earth respond? Number eight, the earth will return to Christ. 22:27. Number nine, the earth will remember Christ. 22:27. Number 10, the earth will worship Christ. 22:27 and 29. Number 11, the earth will praise Christ. 98:4. And finally, the whole earth will be filled with His glory. 72:19. Who does the earth belong to? Christ. Okay. Second thing I want to point out to you. In all these five books of Psalms, the earth is the consummate point. First, in book 1, you have Psalm 22, 23, and 24. 22 is on his crucifixion and on his resurrection. 23 is on his shepherding in his heavenly ministry. But that will lead to a coming day in 24 when the earth is Jehovah's. Amen. And its fullness thereof. Amen. The habitable land and those who dwell in it. In that psalm, it says, "Open up, ye gates, be lifted up, O enduring doors, and the King of glory will come in." Then, in book 2, we see the house and the city in full. But the conclusion of this book is Psalm 72. And Psalm 72 climaxes in Christ's reign over the whole earth. He will drop like rain upon the mown grass. He will be like the abundant showers dripping on the earth. Verses 6 to 8. When will that happen? When Christ comes again. Oh Lord Jesus. Then, in his days, the righteous will flourish. There will be abundance of peace. The moon will be no more. He will have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the end of the earth. When Christ comes, he will solve all the unsolvable problems of humanity. Let me list you 7 unsolvable problems of humanity. Number 1, that's what people talk about all the time, ecological problem. When Christ comes, he will be like the shower, and he will take care of all ecological problems. Number 2, territorial problems. Territory. Boundaries, disputes, unsolvable. Guess what? When he comes, there will be abundance of peace. The moon will be no more. The sun will never set. That's not talking about the Great Britain. That's talking about Christ's kingdom. He will reign from sea to sea. That's not talking about United States. That's talking about Christ's kingdom. He will have dominion from river to the ends of the earth. That's not the Yangtze River. That's not the Ganges River. That's not the Amazon River. It goes to the ends of the earth. Christ will take care of all territorial problems. Number 3, he will take care of all racial problems. Nobody can solve this. Nobody can solve these problems. It says there, king of Tarshish will pay tribute. King of Sheba, king of Seba, they will present the gifts. All the kings of all the races, all the nationalities, they will bow down before him. Solve. I read a book that says in the 21st century, the biggest problem is racial problem. Solve. Number four, unsolvable problem, political problems. Next verse says, all nations will serve him. No need for United Nations. All the political problems will solve overnight. Number five, economical problems. He will deliver the needy. He will have compassion on the poor and on the oppressed. We don't need Obama to take care of that. We don't need the Democratic Party or the Republican Party to take care of that. When Christ comes, he will take care of all economical problems. Number six, problem of social justice. The difference between the poor and the rich, the difference between the different classes of people, that's why you have the oppression. And then after oppression, it says, deliver the needy, compassion on the poor, oppression and violence will vanish. No need for prisons. So the last unsolvable problem that Christ will solve when he comes. Violence and crime. You will walk down the street and you will have no need for police. Am I dreaming?
No.
That's what the Word of God says. The result, sum total of all of those points in Psalm 72 is the end that says, his glory will fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. He will take care of all the problems that cannot be taken care of by humanity, and his glory will fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. That's book two. That's how book two ends. Well, book three. Book three on Christ, on the house, on the city, and finally, how does it end? In Psalm 89, on the earth. It says that he sets his hand on the seas, his right hand on the rivers. He is the highest of kings of the earth. His throne are as the days of heaven. Then, we come to book four. The entire book four, the central part, is on the recovery of the earth. Especially, Psalm 93 to Psalm 101. And we'll come to that. But I just point that out to you first. So with those five things, I want to give you an impression, a picture, how all the directions in the book of Psalm eventually points to this one thing, which is that Christ will come back and recover the whole earth. Okay. Now, maybe we can come to the outline and read a little bit. Roman numeral 1. It is crucial that we have a clear understanding of the extract, the spirit of the book of Psalms. Now this is the concluding word in the entire life study of the book of Psalms in message 45. It has a concluding word, and it says, that it is crucial that we have a clear understanding what is the extract, the spirit of the book of Psalms. A. The spirit, the reality, the characteristic of the divine revelation in the book of Psalms is Christ as the centrality and universality of the economy of God. B. Christ is first the embodiment of the triune God, then the house, then the habitation of God, signified by the temple, then the kingdom of God, signified by the city of Jerusalem, and the ruler of the entire earth from the house of God and in the kingdom of God. Notice that in those references, how much is being mentioned concerning the whole earth. Of course, in Psalm 2, it says that to Christ will be given the nations, all the nations, as inheritance, and the limits of the earth as his possession. Then 36:8 says that we will enjoy the fatness of the house, we will enjoy the river of pleasure. Then 46 says that the river gladdens the city of God, so you have the house and the city. And then, after 36:46, you have 48 that says, the city of God, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. The whole earth. When Zion is mentioned with the view of the whole earth. 72:8, he will have dominion from sea to sea, from river to the ends of the earth, and his glory will fill the whole earth. We covered that. Then C, God desires to have an organic habitation on earth. And this habitation is the aggregate of the saints gained by God through the terminating death and the germinating resurrection of the all-inclusive Christ. Small point number one, the saints will be the eternal manifestation and expression of the process and consummated triune God. He will be everything to them in his all-inclusive Christ. The triune God will reign on the earth through such an organism in the new universe. The triune God will reign on this earth. He will reign over every part of this earth. But it will be through the organism of the triune God, which is the aggregate of the saints gained by God. You know what the whole universe is groaning about? Oh, if the sons of God would come out faster, all our problems would be solved. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. The trees are groaning. The winds are groaning. The whole earth is groaning. Sons of God, manifest, express, and then we will be redeemed. The church bears a responsibility, not just for the redemption of himself, and not just even for the redemption of the whole humanity, but for the redemption of the whole inhabited earth. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, concerning the coming inhabitable earth, concerning which we speak. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 2, what was he speaking about? What was his subject? His subject was the coming inhabitable earth, concerning which we speak. We're talking about not just our personal salvation. We're talking about the destiny of the whole earth. The creation. That's what Romans 8 says. The creation. The destiny of creation. Two. God created a corporate man to express himself with his image and to represent him by exercising his dominion over all the earth. Come back right to the beginning. Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Man is made in the image of God.
Amen.
Christianity preaches a gospel that starts from the fall. But in the Lord's recovery, we preach a gospel that precedes the fall. You, man, is created in the image of God.
Amen.
And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle. Have dominion over everything in the sea, in the air, on land. Commander-in-chief of all three forces. But listen, that is not really the crux of his dominion. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. You need an encyclopedia to know that. The fowl of the air, all the animals. The next phrase, and all the earth. And then the next verse, and the creeping thing, every creeping thing. Man's main mandate of dominion is the earth. The cattle, the animals, and all the things on it, those are the accessory dominion. And then, within this main dominion, there is one critical dominion, and that is the dominion over the creeping things, which is Satan. That's man's commission. And so, God created man according to his image, not our image. In other words, man is created according to Christ's image for the purpose that man would be little Christs on earth as his agents, exercising dominion for Christ. Then next verse, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Let's give humanity a test. 1, 2, 3, 4. Has he become fruitful? Yes. Has he multiplied? Yes. Has he replenished the earth? No, he has depleted the earth. Has he subdued the earth? Absolutely no. But listen, that is man's mandate. Not just to be fruitful, not just to multiply, but to replenish it and to subdue it. Mainly to subdue it in respect to the enemy, the devil. Now he hates this message because this message is kicking Satan. Not just out of the church, but out of this earth. Amen. Clean up this earth. Amen. Amen. You know, both Psalm 8 and Hebrews chapter 2 have Genesis 1 in view. In Psalm 8, he saw beyond everything on earth. He saw beyond every problem. And he said, what is man? And he goes back right to the original intention of God's creation of man. Well, listen. In Psalm 8, man is revealed in four stages. First, the created man, Adam. Second, the fallen man, Enosh, frail. Third, the regenerated man, babes and suckling. Fourth, the overcoming man, becoming the feet of the overcoming one, Christ, putting all things under his feet. So first you're Adam, then you become Enosh, then through calling on the Lord you become a babe and suckling. Amen. Then through his constituting work, amen, hallelujah, amen, you become part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And all things by then will be under our feet.
Amen.
That is our destiny.
Amen.
Hebrews 2, I mentioned that already, concerning the coming inhabitable earth, which the writer was speaking. Then in verse 8, it says, Psalm 8 says that he subjected all things. Then Paul started doing a footnote, because he got so much into this all things. He said, concerning the subjecting of all things, it means that it left nothing unsubjected. That means it means all things. But yet, we have not yet seen all things subjected. So what was he talking about? He was talking about man's destiny in subjecting all things. And then the prototype came. And who is the prototype? It is fitting for the prototype because all things are for him and all things are through him. The prototype is a person who is for which are all things and through which are all things, and he is bringing many sons to glory so that they would be the duplicate of the one who is for whom are all things and through whom are all things.
Amen.
That's man's destiny.
Amen.
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 Okay. A. God's intention in giving man dominion is to subdue God's enemy, Satan, who rebel against God, to recover the earth, which was usurped by Satan, and to exercise God's authority over the earth in order that the kingdom of God may come to the earth, the will of God may be done on the earth, and the glory of God may be manifested on the earth. I mentioned seven problems. Actually, there is only one problem: Satan. You deal with Satan, the earth has no more problem. And what the church is here doing? The church commission is here to deal with Satan. Yeah. For us, as Christians, first, we're under God's judgment, or before we were Christians. As Christians, we're delivered from God's judgment. But that's not all. Man's destiny and the destiny of the Christian is not just to be free from judgment, but to exercise judgment over Satan. It does say in the New Testament that, don't you know that you will judge the angels? You will judge the angels? The destiny of man is to judge the angels. It's not just so that you will escape perdition and not be judged. We have to take up this responsibility. Amen. In our prayer. Amen. The church has to pray. Amen. Lord, empower us. Amen. Empower the church. Amen. So that when we pray, Thy kingdom come. Amen. We inflict loss on Satan. Amen. I will come to that in a minute. That's the prayer of the age. That's the prayer that will end the age. Amen. Is to deal with the problem of problem. The problem of problem is Satan. B. Man is especially related to the earth, and the area where God desires man to rule is the earth. God needs man to recover the earth. God needs man to recover the earth. The earth was wonderful. It got spoiled once. God recovered it once, and He will recover it again. The first time He recovered it by His own word. The second time He will recover it through His agents, His representative. It will be recovered from the usurping hand of Satan, causing Satan to suffer loss on the earth. The church's commission on the earth is to cause Satan to suffer loss. Amen. We preach the gospel in the Hindu lands, in the Muslim lands, in the lands that they worship idol, so that Satan will suffer loss. Amen. We preach the gospel on the highest campuses and the institution in this world, because they have been deceived by the world, by the God of this age. And when we preach the gospel to them, we are causing suffering to Satan. See, God's intention that man would express God in His image and represent God with His dominion is fulfilled not in Adam as the first man, the old man, but in Christ as the second man, the new man, comprising Christ Himself as the head and the church as His body, as one person, crushing Satan under His feet. D. The Lord Jesus, the King, taught us to pray, saying, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth. What is the subject here? The earth. Three things: Your name be sanctified, as in heaven, so on earth. Your kingdom come, as in heaven, so on earth. Your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. In other words, heaven has no problem. The prayer is for the earth. As already done in heaven, so Father, let it be done as well on the earth. Let your name be sanctified on the earth. Let your kingdom come on the earth. Let your will be done on the earth. The disciples said, how should we pray? The Lord said, that's what you should pray. Pray for the earth. I have three things that I wrote down here. Redemption is to recover creation. The gospel is to recover the earth. And salvation is to recover mankind. It's not just for us to be saved from perdition. Redemption is to bring us back to creation. I actually have a quote here. To redeem means to restore and recover. To create means to determine and to initiate. Redemption is something afterwards so that God's purpose in creation may be fulfilled. In other words, redemption is to redeem us back to, or to redeem what is God's original creation. That's why redemption, you know, I forgot one more thing in Hebrews chapter 2. When Christ died, it says there that he tasted death for everything. He didn't just taste death for you. He tasted death for the whole old creation. Redemption is for the whole creation. To recover the creation. But it's waiting. Waiting for the sons of God to appear. Our preaching of the gospel is to drive away the demons' work. When the Lord Jesus comes, his gospel work started with driving out the demons. You know, when Brother Lee asked those trainees in Taiwan to go down to the villages, he said, you need to go to the villages and drive out the demons, cast out the demons. And then you need to also heal the sick. And he said, healing the sick, if people ask you, then you heal them. Casting out demons, you don't need to ask. You just go there and cast out demons. Go there, cast out demons. Go there, cast out demons. Oh, see the demons? Cast out the demons. One time, I was in the training in Taiwan. And I asked the trainees, I said, how many of you have experience of casting out demons? Half of them raised up their head. Whoa, I was surprised. Well, the demons are very active there. But the demons are also very active on the campuses here. Only in a different way. Not in drunkenness, not in, you know, dealing with spirits. But in the philosophy, in their mind, in the drugs, in all the bondages. So, as gospel preachers, what do? We come to announce the coming of the gospel of the kingdom. And we're here to cast out all the demons. You know, I remember a story, Brother Jerusalem Song, he told me. He said he was in this place in Sri Lanka, And he was praying and praying and praying. And then after they prayed, suddenly a snake fell down from the roof. A big, huge snake. I said, wow, that's something that you will only see in Sri Lanka. But you know, there are physical snakes. They're invisible snakes. And the work of the gospel preacher is to go and bind all those snakes. You go to UCLA, bind the snakes. You go to Harvard, bind the snakes. You go to Bangladesh, bind the snakes. Wherever you go, you're going there to bind the snakes. You go to Turkey, you go to Rome. Pray to bind the snakes. That's the commission of the church. Redemption is for the whole earth. The gospel is to recover the whole earth. Okay, I come back to the outline. I was on Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. It's very clear that there is no problem with heaven. The Lord teaches us to pray for the earth. The kingdom is a realm in which God exercises His authority so that He can express His glory. After the rebellion of Satan, the earth fell under his usurping hand. Thus, the will of God could not be done on earth as in heaven. Hence, God created man with the intention of recovering the earth for himself. Man is the recovery team, the cleanup army. He is created to recover the earth from the hand of Satan. You know, let me tell you one very little story. There's a new one that came to the church in Anaheim. Now he's not a new one. He may be sitting here. When he was coming into the church, he was still not a believer. And he and his mother befriended this, I think he's a witch. She's a witch. She has intercourse with demons, with spirits. And she knows all those dark realms. So when these two, the mother and the son, got saved, they came to the church life. And they said, okay, brought this woman in. That woman, when she got into the church, she said, oh, this place, there's too much power here. I dare not go in. You know, there is something. The demon sees us. It's very real. But hallelujah. The demons are afraid of us. We're here to recover the earth. Amen. Number three, after the fall of man, Christ came to bring the heavenly rule to earth so that the earth would be recovered for God's interest and so that the will of God could be done on earth as in heaven. Then, the next point. The church brings in the kingdom. The church brings in the kingdom.
Amen.
The work of the church is to bring in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
What is the church's commission? It's to bring in the kingdom. Matthew 24:14 says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the end, to all inhabitable earth, and then the end will come. And Watchman Nee made the point there. He said, even if the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the end, to the whole inhabited earth, it will only bring in the tribulation, because the end will come. That end is the tribulation. In other words, you preach the gospel of the kingdom until you trigger off the tribulation. But it is the church that will trigger off the kingdom. The gospel trigger off the tribulation, but the church triggers off the kingdom. When the man-child is taken up, then the kingdom of God will come. You know, in Matthew 11, the Lord Jesus was rejected by those in Chorazin and Bethsaida. And then it says, right at that moment, he answered and he said, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, I exalt you, because this is your will, that you hide this from the wise and you reveal this to the babes. You know what that was? That was the carrying out of the Lord's Prayer. He extolled the Father. That was the Father's name being sanctified. He called the Lord of the heaven and the earth. In Daniel, he says he is God of heaven. But when there was a man who stood on the earth for God's interests, then he is no longer the Lord of heaven, but the Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen.
The rule of heaven came down to earth.
Amen.
And his will is being done.
Amen.
On earth.
Amen.
As in heaven.
Amen.
That's the Lord's example. And all of us should be praying this prayer. O Lord, your name be sanctified, your kingdom come, and your will be done in heaven as in heaven, so on earth. I want you not just to be the Lord of the heaven, I want you to be the Lord of the heaven and the earth. Five, the believers must pray for the coming of the kingdom until the earth is fully recovered for God's will in the coming age. We need this strategic prayer. We need this kingdom prayer. We need this end the age prayer. We need to pray this for God's work throughout the whole earth. In all the places, restricted countries, non-restricted countries, Muslim countries, Christian countries, any kind of country, we need to pray. Last week, when I was preparing the message, I received something in the mail, and I opened it. And I said, I'm going to show it to all the saints. It's a map of the world, and it says, will you pray? Pray not just for your own interests. Pray not just for your own family. Will you pray for North Korea? Will you pray for Iran? Will you pray for Istanbul? Will you pray for all the campuses that are so dark in America? Will you pray?
Amen.
Thy kingdom come.
Amen.
As in heaven, so on earth.
Amen.
Hang this mentally in your mind. Every time you pray, pray for God's interest on the whole earth.
Amen.
What God wants is to have a kingdom. Let me put it this way. In the history of God's people, there were four periods. In the first period, there was a people and there was no king. That's the time of the judges. In the second period, there was a king and there was no people. That's when David was anointed. In the third stage, there was the king, and there were some people. While David was in his sojourning, some people began to follow him. They were the overcomers. They were the mighty men. And they follow him to the cave of Machpelah. And they follow him to En-Gedi. And they follow him eventually to Hebron. And in Hebron, not all the people, but those that have the discernment, they crown him as king. And in the fourth stage, David took his mighty men and stormed the stronghold of Zion and made that the city of God, and all the people anointed him king. You may say that the first stage was no king, just people. Second stage, king and no people. Third stage, king with some people. Fourth stage, king with all the people and subduing all the earth. First stage, Old Testament. Second stage, Gospels. Third stage, New Testament age. And the purpose in the New Testament age is to gain the overcomers.
Amen.
So that he would have a Zion.
Amen.
And when David gained Zion, then he gained the whole kingdom.
Amen.
Then you have the kingdom.
Amen.
What God is doing today as he is in the third stage. Our David, today, he's calling man.
Amen.
To join him.
Amen.
In his wandering.
Amen.
And while the whole children of Israel, God's people, have not turned, there are those that turn.
Amen.
And eventually, they made the honors roll of the mighty men of David. There were those who were one with David's heart, and David won the water of Bethlehem, and they risked their life, and they went and got that water. There were those that were bold enough and killed 300 men. There were those who in the snow fell into a pit and killed a lion there. These people, they may be ragged, they may be nothing. just like the fishermen of Galilee. But they follow David.
Amen.
They follow David.
Amen.
And they follow him all the way to Zion.
Amen.
Do you see that? Do you see that? In Revelation 14, there were 144,000, and they went to Zion. And who was waiting for them there? The Lamb was sitting there, or standing there already, waiting for them. He got there first. You know, I was thinking, Psalm 68, was the ark going alone to Zion? Then Hebrews 11 and 12, ending up with Zion, was the corporate people, all the saints of old, all the overcomers. They joined him, and they ended up in Zion. First, it was Christ himself. And then, there were the overcomers with him. Would you like to be one?
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, make me one!
Amen.
Make me one of those. David said, who's going to take the stronghold of Zion for me? And Joab, his chief, he went and he took it. And he was made the chief. One day,
amen,
the Lord Jesus is going to come back in the same place,
amen,
to Mount of Olives. And Joel chapter 3 says he's going to come with his mighty ones.
Amen.
Would you like to be there?
Amen.
Would you like to be enrolled in the honors roll?
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Come quickly!
Amen.
You know, during the Second World War, the Japanese took over the Philippines, and General MacArthur, 1942, he said, I shall return! Listen, the church has been waiting 2,000 years. And the enemy said, and the naysayer said, nothing will happen. Guess what? The general up there said, I shall return!
Hallelujah.
I shall return!
Amen.
And he will return in Mount of Olives.
Amen.
On Mount Zion.
Amen.
With all the overcomers.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Come up here. Come up here. Say hallelujah with me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I shall return! I shall return! What do you say? Come, Lord Jesus! I shall return! I shall return! Oh. Oh, we should be crazy! He's gonna come back through Zion! Glory! Christ will come back again! Declare this.
Hallelujah.
I shall return. 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 Hallelujah. I shall return. I
shall return. Oh. He will come back. He will come back. And we'll be waiting for him. Don't you see that day? Don't you see that day? Oh. No watchman, he said. He said one time he was with watchman Emmy Barber. And it was the end of the year, 1925. And Emmy Barber said, "Lord, is it really true that you won't be coming this year?" In other words, she was expecting that the Lord would come back 1925. Well, this is the last day of 2011. Maybe after tonight's meeting, you know, I know some saints, they have this habit. They pray into, you know, past midnight. Pray into the new year. May not be bad that you pray, "Lord Jesus, come back!" And if he doesn't come back by tonight, let's pray, "Lord Jesus, when we wake up tomorrow morning, Lord Jesus, come back this year!" We'll be those that are waiting for his coming. There's a song that says, "Oh, every time the rain drops, every time the wind storm blows, every time the moon shines, every time the tide goes up, then I think maybe it's the Lord's coming." That's our attitude. That's what we need to. Every time something happens, you hear something, "Oh, maybe it's the Lord's coming back." Like Emmy Barber, always waiting. Amen.
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 Okay. Now, Roman numeral 3. That goes through a few of the Psalms, not all of them, to show you how Christ is coming to take the earth. The book of Psalms unveils the recovery of the earth through God's reigning in Christ and his kingdom. The word earth is a key word. It is the precious stone, the gem, the vital point. That's Christ in the church in Psalms Message 6. It's a key word. A, Christ will set up his universal kingdom with the nations as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession. He will rule the nations with an iron rod. B, in Psalm 8, the name of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, ascended, and exalted Jesus is excellent in the earth according to the divine revelation. Then C, the church ushers in Christ's kingdom for Christ to rule over the nations. 1. The church produced by Christ's resurrection, that's in Psalm 22, is the reality of the kingdom and a precursor to the manifestation of the kingdom in the millennium. Then number 2, Jehovah as Christ will rule over the nations in the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
D. In Psalm 24, Christ is the King who will regain the entire earth through the church, his body. Number 1, at his second coming, Christ will take possession of the earth which has been given to him as his possession. Number 2, he will establish God's kingdom on the whole earth, thus recovering God's right over the whole earth, which has been usurped by his enemy. You know, in 1968, some of us went and visited Taiwan for the first time. And I remember very clearly, as we were driving down the island, town after town, village after village, as we come to a stop, the saints would come out and greet us. And it's at that time, not the whole island, all the cities have churches yet. But even then, we felt like that whole place belongs to the Lord. We come into town and there was the saints. We come into town and there was the saints. Close your eyes and see the day when you drive from here to Texas and you pass by Arizona and it's farmland on the left and it's vineyard on the right, and you come into a town and the saints are already there waiting for you. Praise the Lord. And you drive into the next town and there's the saints there also waiting for you. Praise the Lord. And there's no police station, and there's no crime, and there's no bad robbers. The whole earth is going to be the Lord.
Amen.
My brothers, am I dreaming?
No.
Let's dream. Let's dream this dream. You know, I always remember Hudson Taylor said, he said, God works in three stages. Number one, impossible. Number two, difficult. Number three, done. That's how God works, in three stages. What is impossible to you? Tomorrow, you wake up and it will be done. Christ will come and take over the whole earth. And today, we'll take it over, city by city.
Amen.
To kick Satan out.
Amen.
We'll go to the big cities.
Amen.
We'll go to the small cities.
Amen.
We'll go to all the countries.
Amen.
We'll speak to the Muslims.
Amen.
We'll speak to the atheists.
Amen.
We'll speak until the kingdom of God comes down.
Amen.
Winston Churchill, he said during the war, he said, the Nazis, they're over us. Their bombs are over our city all the time. But we will fight on the beaches. We will fight on the sands. We will fight in the seas. We will fight in the land. We will fight in the streets. We will fight in the fields. We will fight in the hills. Until in God's good time, the new world steps forth to the liberation and the rescue of the old. Brothers and sisters, the new world order is coming.
Amen.
The new world order is coming.
Amen.
And we'll fight in the beaches. And we'll fight in the small cities.
Amen.
And we'll fight in the GTCA cities.
Amen.
And we'll fight in the land of the Antichrist.
Amen.
And we'll fight all the way to Jerusalem.
Amen.
And then the end will come.
Amen.
Don't you see it?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Okay.
Hallelujah.
89. Oh, E. When the church is enlarged to a city in which we enjoy God as our everything, God will subdue the peoples and the nations through the city and rule over all the earth in Christ as the great king. Psalm 89 unveils God's intention that Christ, his anointed, would possess the entire earth. Then this whole passage, F, 1, 2, 3, 4, is taken from Psalm 89, footnote 1. Verse 1, footnote 1. In verses 19 and 20, Christ, the unique one in God's record, has become God's holy one, God's mighty one, God's anointed one. Two, he has become the firstborn and the highest of the kings of the earth. Three, God will extend the territory of this unique one so that he will possess the entire earth, setting his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. For the fact that Christ's territory will be extended to all the rivers indicates that Christ will possess the whole earth. Then the last part, which is the central part, the heart of book 4, is Psalm 93-101. It shouts joyfully that God will recover his full title and right over the whole earth through the reign of Christ.
Amen.
This earth, the title of this earth belongs to Christ.
Amen.
The rights, all the rights of this earth belongs to Christ.
Amen.
Let me try to put it this way. Let me tell you 10 titles of Christ according to these Psalms 93-101. First title, the Mighty One, 93:4. Second title, the Judge of the Earth, 94:2. Number 3, the Maker, 95:6. He makes everything, air, land, sea. We'll come to that. Number 4, the Reigning One, 96:10. Over all the peoples, all the nations, all races, all colors. Number 5, he's called the Lord of the whole earth, 97:5. And he's the Most High over all the earth, 97:9. Then number 6, he's the King, 98:6. Then number 7, he's the Legislator. He instituted the statutes and the laws, 99:7. He gave the testimonies. Then number 8, he is the Executor, the one who executes, 99:4. Number 9, he's the Shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture, 103. And then finally, number 10, he's the Destroyer of the Wicked One. The Destroyer. That's a real name card. 10 titles. Obama is nothing. That's all his titles. What are his rights? I'll just use Psalm 95, verse 3 to verse 5. It says, in his hands are the depths of the earth. He holds the deep earth right. All the mineral rights are his. Number 2, the heights of the mountains are his. He holds the airspace right. Number 3, the sea is his, and he made it. He holds the maritime right, the coastal territorial right. Number 4, and his hand formed the dry land. He holds the land right. So he has the land right, he has the air right, he has the maritime right, he has the deep sea right. What right do you have, Satan? Zero right. Hallelujah. You know, today in the world, they have to have the separation of power, you know, the legislative power, the executive power, the judicial power. You know what? In all these titles, Christ holds in himself all the legislative power, all the executive power, all the judicial power. Everything is in him. Hallelujah. He doesn't need to have 3 branches of the government. He just needs 1 branch of the government, Christ.
Amen.
Amen. 1, these Psalms reveal that Christ's reign is through the house and the city of God. 2, God has the right over the earth, the right, all the rights, because the earth with all its fullness, up there, down there, all the different people, all kinds, were created by him. Thus, he is the possessor of the earth and holds the title deed, ownership. He has the full right to claim the earth, and he will do it through the reign of Christ. Psalm 95, we just read it, unveils that Jehovah as king is a great king who possesses the earth. Psalm 96, 3-13 indicates that Jehovah as Christ will come to judge the earth, the world, the people with righteousness and truth, and that he will reign over the nations. The word peoples in verses 3, 5, 7, 10, and 13 indicates that people of every race and color will be judged by Christ in his reign over the nations. 5, according to Psalm 97, 1-2, 4-6, 8-9, and 11, Jehovah as Christ will reign, and because of this, the earth will be glad and will rejoice.
Amen.
Jehovah reigns.
Amen.
Let the earth be glad.
Amen.
Let the many islands rejoice.
Amen.
All 7,000 islands of the Philippines rejoice.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And finally, Psalm 145, 1 and 11 to 13, David praises God for his reigning in Christ and his kingdom.
Amen.
This is the consummation of God's move in Psalms, and it is the recovery of his reign and his kingdom over the whole earth.
Amen.
Verse 10, all your works, that means the whole earth, will praise you. They, that means the whole earth, will speak of the glory of your kingdom to make known to the sons of men, all the people, all the races, all the nations of the entire earth, your mighty acts and the splendor of your kingdom.
Amen.
Then in that verse it says, your kingdom is an eternal kingdom.
Amen.
A kingdom, Daniel 2 says, which will never be destroyed.
Amen.
Its reign will never be left to another people. It will stand forever.
Amen.
Verse 21, and all flesh, that means the whole human race, all the people, will bless his holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
That's why we need to go to all the earth.
Amen.
That's why we need to migrate to all the cities.
Amen.
That's why we need to move to Europe, to Asia, to all the countries that do not have the gospel of Christ. Shall we go?
Amen.
Not just to preach the low gospel, but to drive out Satan.
Amen.
I like one word that Brother Lee used. He said it's to evict Satan.
Amen.
For the, let me see, I can forget it. He said, the church here is here for the expatriation of Satan. I like that. We go to the campus to expatriate Satan on the campuses. We go to Bangladesh to expatriate Satan in Bangladesh. One day, the blending meeting will be in Tehran.
Amen.
It will be in Turkey.
Amen.
It will be in Cairo.
Amen.
It will be in Beijing.
Amen.
And it will be in Pyongyang.
Amen.
North Korea.
Amen.
Announcement. The next seven feasts.
Amen.
Pyongyang.
Amen.
Would you go?
Amen.
Well, you better pray.
Amen.
Let's sing 920. 920. Let's end this way. Stand up and sing it. Sound the trumpet call. Go for the crowning day. Let the piano give us.
Sound ye the trumpet call, herald proclaim, sing and the Lord of hosts, sound for his name. Now of his raising hand, let heartily run.
verse again.
Amen.